Morning, everyone. We're going to read from God's Word. We have two passages this morning. One is from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. So we're going to start off looking at Ezekiel chapter 37 and verses 1 to 6. So God's Word says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" The second reading we have is in the New Testament from 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12. And it says, "And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." Amen.
Thank you to Sophia for leading us in prayers of intercession, and Morag for reading God's word to us this morning. Let's pray together. Loving God, we ask that in this time now, as we explore your word, as we hear, praying that we would have hearts that are open to your word, and that you would lead us on in the life ahead in the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful, thank you. So this morning, the sermon is in two parts. I'm going to speak for a few minutes by way of introduction, then we're going to sing together. Is that right, Dave? We're going to sing together? And then there'll be part two as well. So that's where we're going this morning. And we have been, from last Sunday, at the start of a new series of talks about seeking God together. And can't see it on the screen very well, unfortunately. I must do something about that. But there's a book that we're basing these talks on called Seeking God. And I mentioned that Stuart can wave his hand. That would be great. Stuart's there. Stuart and Morag, I did give them commiserations for Scotland losing yesterday, but we'll move on quickly from that. Stuart recommended this book to me, and it's a really helpful book. But he was chatting to me just this morning and saying, you know, it's so expensive now. It's like £16, £17 for this book if anyone wants to buy it. So it's not cheap. However, he kindly said, if people do want to buy the book, then do speak to him about it. And I think I don't want to promise anything, but we'll make it work for you. If you can't afford the book, we'll make it work for you. And we want you not to miss out just because of the cost. So thank you very much for sharing that. Last week, I spoke about seeking God as an introduction and thought about four things that you will not be disappointed if you seek God, or you will become a lifelong learner. And we talked about different learning styles that people have in life generally, let alone in the Christian life. Seeking God means you draw closer and closer to Jesus. And fourthly, seeking God means that you have something to do. This is not just about hearing nice words. It is actually putting into practice what it means to love God as he first loved us. But today is about not only seeking God, but discovering the life that God gives to you and me. Discovering the life that God gives to you and me. We may have heard this phrase in the past. Anyone heard this phrase? Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, then it's just not the end. Anyone heard that before? It was a phrase that came out and was used again and again and again through COVID times. And there are people that come back to this phrase again and again and again. And I was looking at this phrase thinking, well, where on earth did it originate from? And there is a quote investigator online. Wow, a quote investigator. That sounds really impressive. And it comes to a bit of Portuguese. I don't know if we've got any Portuguese people in the church this morning. There's a couple over there. I can't see anyone else. There's a couple over there. Anyone want to hazard a guess how to say this in Portuguese? Do you want to give it a go? Sorry, Mateus.
Meu filho, tudo no fim dá certo. Se não deu, é porque ainda não chegou ao fim.
Thank you. Exactly. And the phrase comes apparently out of a book written by a Portuguese author. And in 1988, the Brazilian Portuguese book, which I'm not going to pronounce, it's called The Checkerboard by Fernando Sabino. And it means everything works out in the end. If it didn't, it's because it hasn't come to an end yet. I don't know whether you agree with that. But there's another way, a shorter way of expressing this. Life doesn't have to be this way. Life doesn't have to be this way. In the book Seeking God, Trevor Hudson talks about life and talks about the difficulties and the challenges of life. And I want to read out some things that he expresses in terms of the challenge of life today. And he goes through his own life and talks about it from the time when he was in his 20s and 30s, and then when he was in his 60s and 70s. And the bit in between he doesn't really talk about, but I think the bit in between is the hardest because I'm just in my 50s. But I want to share with you what he said about life and about the struggle of life. There have been many times in my life when I've had to hear the words, "It doesn't have to be this way." I recall when I struggled with the destructive consequence of a gambling addiction in my 20s. When Debbie and I have battled with coldness and distance in our marriage. When I felt a terrible weariness and fatigue that comes from compulsive busyness. When I succumbed to living with a habit of negativity rather than a habit of happiness. When I've gotten sucked into the pressures of performance and pleasing in my ministry. When my relationship with God has felt barren and distant, and the list goes on and on. These were desperate, despairing, and dark times when I needed to know there is another way to live. That was in his 20s and 30s. We shift on a few decades to his 60s and 70s. You'll be pleased to know I'm not asking for your hands up of what age you are. 60s and 70s, as I get older, he said, those words, "It doesn't have to be this way," still speak powerfully to me. Our youth-oriented society does not encourage a hopeful outlook on getting old. Our surrounding culture often communicates that the message that when you're in your seventh decade, you don't have much significant contribution left. The best one can hope for is a nice retirement home, or more golf, or more travel. So it's become crucial for me to develop an alternative view around this critical stage of my life journey, one that is more inviting and hopeful. In all the diminishments, in all the crisis, in all the opportunities that come with aging, I need to hold this phrase closely to my heart. But then he talks about life beyond the personal. And that's always a really healthy thing, to think about life beyond the personal. He talks about his own country, South Africa, the country that needs to hear these words. When we became a democracy in 1994, our collective national hopes for a brighter and better future for all South Africans soared. And we have some South Africans in the church here. Today, those dreams have been smashed by increased inequalities between the haves and have-nots. The violent crime that keeps us imprisoned behind electric fences, the corruption of political leaders, amassing of great wealth at the expense of the poor, gender-based violence that has scarred the lives of countless women, painful racism and tribalism, not only South Africa but other nations with their own tragic pasts, and we can bring Palestine and Israel into that right now. It doesn't have to be this way. And Trevor in the book moves from the 20s and 30s, from the 60s and 70s, and from beyond himself into the wider vista of his own country and all countries. And then he gravitates towards his spiritual walk. As with all of us, there comes a time when our faith loses its edgy adventure and gets stuck in the deadening familiarity. I'll wait for that to go. Because I kind of want to repeat that again. There comes a time when our faith loses its sense of edgy adventure and gets stuck in a deadening familiarity. Think, he says, how easy it is to go through all the usual motions of worshipping God, and this is for the worship band leaders, without knowing the reality of God. That's your task as worship band leaders. Help us not only to know more about God, but to encounter God. He says that in his spiritual walk, to accumulate insights about God without encountering God leads so often to a dull spiritual walk. To express belief in God without surrendering to God. And we at Dwell last Sunday evening learnt a bit more about surrendering. To talk about God without following God. When we live a Christian life this way, we've got it wrong. And life doesn't need to be this way. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come to bring life and life abundantly, life in all its fullness. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you experiencing this life that Jesus invited you into? 1 John 5 that was read to us by Maura, God gave us eternal life and this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Do you have life in the Son? We're seeking God together. How on earth would you describe this life in the Son? A few months ago now, I gave an outline of 30 words to describe this life in the Son. I, in all honesty, have forgotten those 30 words, but you haven't. Or maybe you're like me. But we can describe this new life, this new creation, this sense of wonder about being a Christian in various ways. And the top five reasons, Trevor Hudson says in his book, are this. Our sins are forgiven. Reason number one, for a life lived abundantly. The life that the Son gives is because our sins are forgiven. And then he says a second one is because we now have peace with God. That's another reason for this life. The third is that we are accepted just as we are, but we will be moved perhaps to more of a Christ-likeness. A third reason for life in the Son. Or fourthly, just that simple truth that we are loved unconditionally. Or fifthly, we will go to heaven after we die. Five good, solid, sound reasons for life in the Son. But what we're talking about this morning is not simply those five important, crucial, central that they are. But what we're talking about is the inbreaking of an encounter with God in such a way that we start living this life in the here and now. What does it mean to experience abundant life in the here and now? Or another way of putting it is, what does it mean to let your bones live? We're going to sing. And we're going to sing in a way where we have the potential and the possibility to let our bones live. The prophecy that was given to Ezekiel to share with the people of God was the clarion call, let the people's bones live, which in a New Testament translation is live life abundantly in Christ. That's the invitation this morning. That's the invitation of God to you, to seek the life that God gives. So let's stand together and sing. So I've shared that life doesn't have to be this way, and shared the potential and possibility of God giving us another kind of life. The question is, what kind of life will you and I live? There is the bios life. That life that is the tendons and the bones and the ligaments and all the aspects of life that is physical within us. Don't know whether you woke up this morning and had that sense of springing out of bed. The laughs tell me no. Or whether you were like, I can barely think about putting the kettle on. I've got to be honest with you, I got out of bed this morning feeling absolutely shattered. And a creaky bone or two. And this physical life that I live, well, it's not great. I probably eat too much bad stuff and don't do enough exercise, and my bios life needs sorting out. It was funny, I was putting out the flags this morning, just a bit of visibility of the church, and I saw this guy from the window, and he was going to the gym, but he was like taking a double take at the flag, Shirley Baptist Church, and it was as if he was going, what do I do? Do I go to the gym or do I just go into this church? And I was like, go to the gym, mate. You're looking a bit like me. No, I didn't say that. I said nothing because I was in the window, not near him. But he was in this, clearly in this sense of, do I go to the gym or what is this church? Fascinating. But the bios life is our physical life, biological life. But what I really want to speak to you about is Zoe Rose. The Greek term for life, which is different from the biological life, is the Zoe life, which is this spirit-imparted life. It's as if God breathes life into us, which is beyond the physical, and it is the spiritual. It's as if even God imparts something of his own life into us, who are created in his image. It is beyond my imagination and my comprehension. It's beyond the study I've done in theology to work this one out. But God in his goodness and his grace and his wisdom chooses to impart a life, the Zoe life in us, which is a spiritual life. It can't be contained. And get this, it can't be broken like bones or snapped like tendons. It is a different kind of life, this Zoe life that God gives. Is a free gift to each of us. And I suggest that most, if not all of us, in this place this morning can and will experience the Zoe life. I think this is gone, so you can go on to the next one, please. That would be great. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. This crossing over from death to life is not only life's last breath. This is the moment you say yes to Jesus. When you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to Zoe. Dave, you said yes to Zoe. When you married her, we're not saying that. We're saying yes to Zoe in terms of yes to the life that God imparts, this spiritual, God-breathed, God-ordained life, this abundant life that only Jesus can give. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What does life in the name of Christ look like? It does away with negativity. It does away with disappointment, though they are realities. And it looks at life through the lens of the one who died on a cross. We often look to the cross, but our perspective in life is to look through the cross. To see the world with the eyes of Christ, to see my neighbor with the eyes of Christ. Seek the Zoe life that God gives. Develop an intimate friendship with God. This is a crucial part of that Zoe life. Jesus spoke to the Father in Aramaic in a way of intimacy and closeness and wonder and affection and respect and trust and obedience. As Trevor says in the book, the Zoe life, developing an intimate relationship, is to move from a polite relationship with the Lord to sharing ourselves openly, vulnerably, and truthfully. What I'm suggesting is don't be polite with God. It's amazing how we pray. It's our tone changes. We have a tone when we speak with one another, and then we have a tone when we pray. It becomes kind of like a posh middle class tone. Maybe that's out of reverence. Maybe that's out of respect. But we change our accent when we pray. What is that about? What this is about is an honest, non-polite way of relating with God. Being vulnerable and honest and open. Embrace a shared life with others. Again, he describes that there is no solo spirituality in the New Testament. Our faith is personal but never private. He talks amazingly about having a group of people in their 30s and 40s round for an evening in his house. And anyone in the church like icebreakers? Clearly not. I'm in that camp as well. I really don't like them. But he said he did this. He had a group of young people come around to youngish come around to the house. He said, let us take a moment to share what the weather is like in our lives right now. What's the weather like in your life right now? And he said, there was a pause, a kind of an awkward pause. There always is with icebreakers. And then he said, one or two people started to share. One person said, it's cloudy, but the sun is beginning to shine through. Another person said, the weather in my life right now is like gale force winds that are blowing left, right, and center. Don't know which way I'm going. Another person said, things have actually been quite sunny recently. And then after exploring what the weather was like in people's lives, he asked the question, what on earth are you looking for in your relationship with God? This solo Christianity lark doesn't do us any good. We have to share life together, whether we like one another or not. Because Jesus often spent time with the crowd. And we spend time with one another. So we need to learn from one another. We need to begin to understand one another, to be interested in each other's lives, to ask questions and not prejudge. Be open to change and transformation, which is another way of saying this spiritual life is not a do-it-yourself Christianity. As we are impacted by the work of the Holy Spirit bringing Zoe life into our life, as we rub shoulders one to another, so there is something of the gentleness of God at work bringing openness and change. Dare I say, even transformation. He gives a story of a pastor in his 40s who was a busy pastor, a pastor who was wanting to bring so much change to the life of the church, and the pastor needed to slow down. I might be speaking to myself a little bit here. Eventually, after the pastor went through the school of hard knocks, he slowed down. And then his wife, sorry, Hannah, I don't think this is you saying this, but his wife said, I've got nothing profoundly spiritual to say about my husband. That is you probably saying that. I've got nothing profoundly spiritual to say about my husband. But let me tell you this. He's begun to change and be transformed. And people are going, oh, wow, there must be something super spiritual going on. And she said, no. He's just more fun to live with. Sometimes the Zoe life, the openness and the transformation towards drawing closer to Christ means that you might just be more fun to live with. Become aware of the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke writes in Acts 11, Jesus was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, who went about doing good things. Jane, you're a good person, full of the Holy Spirit, going about doing good things. Tim, you're a good person, full of the Holy Spirit, going about doing good things. I think I'll stop there in naming people. But you get the picture. We are called, if we reflect Jesus, to be good people, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, going about doing good things. The same power in the work and the life of Jesus is freely offered to you and I. That's what's on offer this morning. I'll invite you to come forward for prayer. Be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, or at the back, or with someone close to you, or near to you. It's not something to be frightened of or scared about, but the gentle presence of the Spirit is available to all. And it's a power that leads us to a hope of a life that is indestructible. As Christians, we're really good at bringing about the hope of the life after at funerals, but not every day. But we have this Zoe life in the here and now, and it's indestructible. There is so much that is temporary about the life that we live. So much that is about chapters and episodes. But the indestructible Zoe life of God breathed in each of us will never, ever be taken away. But let's be honest. I want to finish on a right downer. There is a gap. There is a gap. There's a painful gap between the glorious radiance of who Jesus is and, quite frankly, the person that I am. I don't know whether you've ever experienced the gap. When you hear about Jesus and you contemplate your own life, you may feel the gap. But what I've found in reading this book and reflecting on the scriptures is that whilst there is a clear gap, there is no need for despair. For God meets you and I where we are at, and he never gives up on us. God constantly encourages us to keep seeking the life that Jesus makes possible. Our calling, our invitation, is to yearn, is to desire, is to thirst, is to seek for intimacy, belonging, significance, transformation, and eternity. So, if you can go on to the next slide, please, Evan. I'd encourage you to stand in this moment, to take a stand. And as you stand, or if you're not able to stand, to sit, but with a heart orientated towards Christ, to seek the life that God alone gives. There is no one who can give you this life other than God, who breathes the beautiful, wonderful, gentle balm of the Holy Spirit to bring life again. Without this life, we are but dust. With this life, there is the victory over death. With this life, there is something indestructible. There is something everlasting. There is something of goodness and light and compassion and kindness. Jesus is the center of this life. And when we look to the Son, we look through the cross to a world in need and say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, because I experienced the gap. the gap between me and Christ, the gap between a life I'm living and the Zoe life that has been spoken about this morning, a gap between myself and maybe others. I am struggling to live this shared life. A gap between my heart and the call to intimacy. I'm trying to put people at a distance, not embrace them. I'm trying to put God at a distance, not embrace God. I want to be removed, and yet this jarring invitation to intimacy is something I just don't get. There's a gap. Or maybe it's a gap in the desire for openness and change and transformation. Not in church, in you. I just want to be the way I've always been. I don't want to go any further, thanks. If there's a gap this morning, not sure who's on the prayer, but please, those who are on the prayer at the front, come to the front. And those who are on the prayer at the back, please be ready. And I do believe this morning, actually, there are people that need to come forward for prayer because there is a gap in their lives, a gap in this relationship with the Lord. And if you need to go and get your kids, go and get your kids. Because time's up. Go and get your kids, that's fine. But I'm going to stay here, and if someone wants to come and pray with me or with Maha or with Claire at the back, then we'll do that gently. We won't even ask what's going on. We'll just pray for that gap. Mind the gap. And we think, we're in London. Birmingham's much better. Let's be mindful of the gap. And let's respond seeking that Zoe life this morning as we sing, as we worship with singing lips and broken bodies, but an indestructible life. Let's worship and let's be prayed for and let's minister grace.